Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, and we are just absolutely blessed that you could join us today for our continuation in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember now, this is the unveiling of Jesus, the way He is now. He's not the same person that He was here during His first advent for those 3.5 years when He was the gentle shepherd, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's coming back now as King and Conqueror. And as we've been going through the book of Revelation, we've gotten to the study of the campaign of Armageddon. And I want to look today at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to start with the location about where He comes back. And I'm going to be reading for you in the first 7 verses of the chapter 34 of the book of Isaiah. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall also be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon all the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Now, interestingly, Isaiah starts this passage with a call to all the nations. He said that God is very indignant towards the nations, and specifically their armies. He's destined to slaughter them by the sword. He says that the earth and the heavens are going to shake. Now, when the sword of God strikes all the armies of the nations, it's going to be in the land of Edom. That's what they're calling Idumea. It also means Edom, which is southern Jordan today. The text goes on to say the specific location within Edom is the city of Bozrah. And again, that's in southern Jordan, and it's actually called Petra today. The second and the more graphic passage from Isaiah places him on an elevated terrain in Israel, looking eastward towards Edom. He then suddenly sees a magnificent blood-stained character approaching him. And the character is glorious and splendid in his appearance. Isaiah then asks this splendid character a question, which is the first of several. Look what he says here, Isaiah 63:1a. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Now, interestingly, the figure that's approaching him is coming from the land of Edom and the city of Bozrah. His features are reflecting his glory, and his strength is apparent. The character is clothed with gloriousness and strength. Now, this is analogous to the view of the Apostle John had of the Lord Jesus in his resurrected glory. Now, we saw that in the very first chapter of this book of the Revelation. You probably don't remember back that far, but that goes back 49 weeks. You know, this is a man arrayed with the Shekinah glory. This is the Messiah. Revelation 1, verses 10 to 17. I'm going to read that for you again. Here's the Apostle John speaking. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like flame, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, that's from Revelation chapter 1, but let's go back to the Isaiah passage here describing Christ coming at the second coming. Isaiah 63, 1b. In other words, the second half of the passage we just read here a few moments ago. I that speaketh in righteousness, mighty to save. Now, there's only one person in all of creation in heaven who can speak in righteousness and has the power to save. It's our Lord Jesus. He's marching towards Israel from the city of Bozrah. Now, Isaiah then responds to the Lord with another question. Isaiah 63, 2. Look what Isaiah says. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? In other words, somebody that's been in a wine vat treading out wine, squishing the grapes into wine. Now, Isaiah sees that the garments of this person are stained with blood. Now, he then asked them, how is it that he received these stains? Verses 3 to 6 of Isaiah 63. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me, and I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Now the Lord's blood-stained garments were caused by the battle that he fought in the land of Edom within the city of Bozrah. He fought against the nations alone. Now during the course of the battle, the blood of the combatants was sprinkled on his clothes, and that's what stained them red. He had to conduct a fight to redeem the nation Israel. He fought all alone because there wasn't anybody to help him. Clearly, now this battle that he initiated at Bozrah was the Lord Jesus, and by the time he reached Israel, his stained garments were soaked with the blood of the enemy. The third scripture here that I want to read for you that places the initial return at Bozrah is found in Habakkuk 3:3. And this is what Habakkuk says. God came from Taman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Now, Taman and Mount Paran are both in the region of Basra, and they're located in the same mountain range, if you will, as Mount Seir. Taman was the eldest son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau. So it'd be like a grandson of Esau. And remember now, Esau was Jacob's twin brother. That comes from Genesis 36, verses 11, and 1 Chronicles 1, verse 36. Now, Eliphaz, he was the chief of the Edomites, and he gave his name to the region that the text is telling us that God just came from. God in Christ. This passage clearly speaks of the second coming, and the location is about the same as the event in that area. Now, all these passages just pinpoint to the place of the second coming as being in the land of Edom and the city of Basra. Now, this matches the place where the remnant of Israel is going to be located in the last days of that battle. The gathering at Basra and the second coming are coupled together in the fourth passage of Scripture that I want to read for you this morning. Micah 2, verses 12 to 13. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Basra. And the flock in the midst of their fold, they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breakers come up before him. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. So the remnant of Israel is going to be gathered at Basra, where they're going to be besieged by the forces of the Antichrist. And finally, they're going to be able to break the siege because Jesus, the king, is leading them. But he's doing this all by himself. Now, the breaker, the king, and Jehovah, we've seen in the text here, are all the same. At the second coming, Christ is going to enter into battle with the forces of the Antichrist, which have gathered at this city to try and attack the Jews. And that's modern-day Petra. Now let's look at the manner of the second coming. Jesus, the king, is in this final battle with the Antichrist. The final battle of the Antichrist. The manner that he's coming is in the clouds of heaven. Matthew 24:30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, if we think about Jesus' ascension after his resurrection and the time that he was on this earth, walking about, seeing people, and thousands saw him, the resurrection is one of the most provable events of all of history. Look what the text reads in the first chapter of Acts, verses 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. Now the angel didn't speak of the place of his second coming, just the manner in which he's going to return on clouds. So the following passage from the Revelation is what's going to talk about this in greater detail. Revelation 19, verses 1 to 18. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now, Revelation 19, verses 1 to 2, which is the discussion of the first of four hallelujahs, and it's the heavenly host praising God for the fall of ecclesiastical Babylon. Now, remember back, beloved, when we talked about ecclesiastical Babylon? Someday there's going to be a great world leader called the Antichrist. Book of Revelation calls that a beast, not the beast that we just read about. Those are the cherubim. But the beast is going to be this Antichrist, and there's going to be a second beast, the false prophet, who is going to be a great world leader over all the apostate religions in the world. Every religion that is not of the true church. The true church doesn't have a name on the door. It's invisible. You can't see it. You don't know who's part of it, other than the fruit that comes from their lives. But people in all different buildings and denominations and so on around this world, out of them come the true church. Out of them. Everybody that's not of the true church will be left here to go through the tribulation, and those that are religious will be led by this coming world religious leader, and he's going to have his headquarters in Babylon, just like the Antichrist has his headquarters there too. But the fall is going to take place of ecclesiastical Babylon at the second coming. Look what Revelation 19, verses 1 to 2 says. After these things, I heard a great voice of many people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now the second hallelujah is found in the succeeding verse, which praises God for the destruction of the city of Babylon, which we've seen are going to be the economic and political capital of the world too. Look at the 19:3, Revelation 19:3. And they said again, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. The third Alleluia is a worshipful praise, if you will, to God from those around the throne. Revelation 19, verses 4 to 5. Now, if we go can think back to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, which is the throne room of God, we saw these 24 elders and the four beasts, which are really the cherubim. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Now the fourth hallelujah, praising the Lord, is for the marriage of the Lamb. Now remember, during our study here, we've been looking at this. We've talked about the Olivet Discourse, which has been Christ's discussion with his inner circle, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, on the Mount of Olives before his death and resurrection about his return. And some of the events that he discussed were the rapture of the church, the invisible church, if you will. Look what happens here. The rapture happens of the real believers and the judgment seat of Christ and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, this is an announcement through a hallelujah, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, verses 6 to 8. And I heard the voice, as it were, of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now it's followed by an invitation to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Verse 9, And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. So it's with this marriage feast that the millennial kingdom begins. The invitations are sent out just prior to the second coming. Now these invitations go to those that have been redeemed but are not members of the church. Now, that'll be the Old Testament and the Tribulation saints that are soon going to be resurrected to life everlasting with entirely new bodies. The church received them at the time of the rapture, according to 1 Corinthians 15. The next component of the first section of Revelation 19 is a declaration of the spirit of prophecy. And I fell at his feet and worshipped him. And he saith unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. He is the source of all prophecy, and it moves forward in time towards a complete fulfillment by him, providing himself with the glory we need to realize. And I'm going to close with the apostle's description of the second coming. And I saw heavens opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Beloved, I look forward to being with you in our next session and continuing this exciting discussion of the return of the Lord Jesus. God bless you.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan, 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan, 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m., at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.